And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Doe?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic, we put it on wax.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What do?
We get the people what they want.
Jalen, who's joining us later in the show?
The hilariously funny, the uber talented David Allen Greer.
But we start with the Mavs and the Nuggets, Jokic versus Doncic, and it lived up to all the hype. And it came down to the wire. Jalen Rose, we will discuss the entire game. But I want to start with the end. And this, the stretch mark five, bullying his way to the basket and getting the go-ahead bucket. But look at this last possession from the Mavs. What do you see here, Jalen?
What I see is you want to set that screen for Luka if you're Tim Hardaway Jr. and not slide out of there. Because now you force an action. When you slide out of there, oh, we staying with Luka.
Yeah.
Right? And so now he has the rock. Great court vision, by the way, for the skip pass. If you're the recipient of that skip pass,
you gotta put that up.
Gotta let it fly.
You gotta put that up.
You gotta let it fly. But then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, there's Tim. Runs out of time. So in the next situation, either you're Hardaway, you run up and stop a lot shorter to allow Luka to turn the corner with his right hand, or you physically set the pick so that now that double team becomes a delayed reaction instead of him having to kick it over there while you're backpedaling out, he can kick it to you.
That's a great point.
And Hardaway's a 40% three-point
shooter.
Sometimes
when I listen to you, I'm like, this guy really did play basketball in the NBA for 13 years. He really knows what he's talking about. Then sometimes I'm like, he has no idea. So I want to ask you this because, you know, I've followed the stretch mark five closely this season. He started off really slow, and I got on him a little bit. You're welcome, Denver fans, because he heard me, and now he's back doing what Jokic does. But in this game, it seemed like, and he's done this before against the Sixers, he's not even there in the first half and then blows up in the third quarter. How is that the case?
So here's the thing that I feel like he's juggling mentally and emotionally. He's an MVP candidate.
Is he?
Even starting last year, for example.
Okay.
Last year, he catapulted himself into all-NBA status.
Yes.
He catapulted himself into all-NBA status. But he's a terrific passer. He's thoughtful of his teammates.
Very much so.
And he doesn't want to alienate anybody like, I'm the best player. So there's a line of demarcation that started to happen in sports. Michael Jordan did it, but then people started to do it and just run with it. And you know what that is? My team. My guys. When they doing interviews, he don't necessarily want
and
that.
And Millsap mentioned this in a Ringer article, too, that he's not necessarily as assertive of a player for the skills that he has.
Correct.
So, you know, I went negative on him early in the year. Well, it's time for me to put the targets on someone else. It's time for negative Jacoby. Luka Doncic is a legitimate MVP candidate, and he is the best 20-year-old that's ever played in the NBA. And he will be, he is, whatever. We don't have to argue that. That's not, but I'm going to go negative on Luka Doncic right now. I watched the game, and while he had nice numbers, we go deeper than the box score. I watched the game. He made some really weird decisions with the basketball. Like, he did some weird things with some bad turnovers, and right before the play that Jokic had, he took a layup that didn't even hit the rim that Dwight Powell got. But if you look at this, like, he still is finding his way in the league. You know I'm going negative, but do you think that's fair to say? For all the highlights, there are some lowlights.
Gather around the campfire, boys and girls.
Oh, let's do it.
Because Luka Doncic's ascension, Trey Young's ascension, sometimes makes people compare history to what they're seeing right now. And I've heard people say exactly what you just said about Luka, comparing his second year to LeBron's and wondering if he's the best 20-year-old to ever play in the NBA. Hate to have to do this. Have you guys ever heard of Magic Johnson? He played in the NBA.
I'm not talking about
him. He was 20 years old. And you know what they did his rookie year? They won a championship.
The roster around him is very different than the roster around LeBron.
He jumped
Luka.
Center as a 6'9 point guard, scored 40-plus points, flirted with a triple-double, and won a championship. I love Luka. But he's not Magic at 20, and he's not LeBron in his second year.
You know what?
And that's okay.
Yo, I love what you did. You went negative, Jalen.
Never.
Moving on.
I love Luka, big guard.
We had a battle of two overachieving Eastern Conference teams, the Heat and the Pacers, and Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren got into it. And I love this kind of stuff. Butler has really grown on me over the years. Like, I am so firmly in Jimmy Butler's camp right now. So, Jalen, you know what happened. You've seen it by now. Just take us through what you're seeing on the screen.
So, initially, it's two styles conflicting.
What do you mean by that?
It starts on the sideline. Who's coaching those teams? Eric Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
All about play hard, tenacity. Nate McMillan. That's how he played. I played against Mac 10 before. Okay? And as we talk about the glamour teams in the East, the Bucks have Giannis. The Celtics have 17 championships. The Sixers have a story history in Embiid. But you know, the undercurrent in the conference is really what I'm enjoying watching right now. The Heat. The ascension of the Pacers. Without Victor Oladipo, he coming back on the 29th. So what I took from that altercation, TJ Warren, you had him. Y'all went nose to nose. Y'all both got tees.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the basketball. He lowers his shoulder, gets a tee, and an offensive foul. He's already gone. Their best player is ejected. Don't clap. And also get ejected. He had a chance to stay in the game while Jimmy Butler was being ejected. So the banter back and forth, Jimmy getting on the kiss cam and him putting up the middle finger, I understand that they were still fuming, but I appreciate that this may be something budding that I remember seeing in the Eastern Conference Finals. When it was LeBron and Wade, when it was your guy Lance and, yep, and Paul George. I think that's coming again with these two teams.
Well, I don't see them in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, but as much as I love what Jimmy Butler did on the court, I love what he said afterwards even more. Let's check in with some great Jimmy Butler sound.
I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, He got to see me the next time, because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful, and it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
And then what did you notice, the middle finger from him, and was the blowing of the kiss
soft? He's soft. He's not even in my league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me. Ever again. He's like, no. Put somebody else on me, because I'm a tad up every time we play. He's trash.
I love it so much. You know what I love even more? Do you know what he posted on Instagram after those comments?
What's that?
You'll see what he posted on Instagram after those comments. He put up the date of the next time that they play and put a red circle around it and said, I'll see you on March 20th. In Indianapolis.
Shout to the great Donnie Walsh, front office extraordinaire of the Pacers. That might be the game I need to go represent.
Oh, really?
Talking about me coming to Indiana and spending some time with the team.
No.
I'm
not going to let that happen. I'm not
going
to let that happen, because I know you're going to sit courtside and it's going to get heated. And I don't want you that close. I got a family to feed. I can't have no footage of you jumping in an NBA fight from the courtside.
But here's what watching Jimmy Butler reminded me of. Biggie once said this. Want that old thing back? Miss my studs. I'm going to have to bring them back out. I'm going to have to bring them out.
Yours are smaller than that.
No. Only people that had ones that were my size were like KG and another gentleman who's dealing with some personal issues publicly.
The Spurs,
that does music,
have been playing well recently. And they beat the Celtics. But all the attention is on this play. LaMarcus Aldridge sets a screen. Kemba Walker goes into the screen. No foul called. Kemba Walker's upset about that.
Yeah, he's upset.
So what's he do? He runs after the ref. And he might have said something really spicy because he got kicked out. Now, Jalen, I'm going to say something that no one said yet. I like the no call. I didn't think that was that hard of a screen.
I didn't really see much.
LaMarcus Aldridge didn't really like, put his arms into it. I didn't think it was a dirty play. And sometimes no calls are good calls.
This is a perfect example of what the game is now versus what it used to be. And I love Kemba Walker. No shots or shade at him. He doesn't dictate the overtone of how players play in the NBA. But I remember watching a guy named Isaiah Thomas of the Bad Boys.
Okay.
Be put in this same situation in a different era. And look how he handled it with Rick Mahorn, who eventually became a member of his team. And Horn, like, get this little gnat off of me. He didn't even look.
That's like
look
me at and Horn. My son.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't even make eye contact.
Correct. And why do I bring that up? This is a line of demarcation when young people try to say, what do they mean about the game, how it was, and then? Here's the difference. Players nowadays, when a call doesn't go their way and some physical activity takes place,
they go.
Kemba never looked at Aldridge.
They go to the ref.
He looked at the ref. He didn't even look at the guy that put him on his backside.
Mm.
That's the difference.
Good no call from the ref there. I'm going to say it.
Who is joining us in the studio?
The very talented OG that just happened to be from Detroit and represent the University of
Michigan. That's what we do, man.
He got a cold brim on his head right now. Yes. David Allen Greer.
Lewis the Hatter.
House.
Lewis the Hatter.
Happy to have you back.
Man, first of all, let me tell y'all something. I feel like I live with you guys. Every day when I get home from the theater, the last thing I listen to is your podcast.
Oh, that's man. Love. That's so much day. Love.
When you all went on vacation, I was like a crackhead. I like, Christmas. Quiet.
Boxing Day. Well, you mentioned the theater. You're in a new play called A Soldier's Play.
Yeah.
Tell us who you play, the role, and what excites you about it.
Well, everybody knows the movie Soldier Story.
Mm-hmm, of course.
I was in the movie with Denzel Washington, the great.
Classic.
Yeah, Adolf Caesar. This is actually my third time. I was in the original production.
Mm-hmm.
I played C.J. Memphis. I took over for Larry Riley after he left. That's where I met Denzel and Adolf Caesar. Then we did the movie. Now I'm doing the play, and I'm playing Adolf's role, the Sarge, three different times.
This sounds like free money. You don't got to learn any new lines.
Well,
you don't
I do.
Any new stuff.
I didn't remember all the fights. You know, I was like, oh, this is a glamorous role. It's the lead. I'll take it. Then I read. I was like, wait a minute. I'm getting my ass whooped again.
As somebody that's tried to be a thespian in different endeavors in my life, I understand that basically doing television or movies seems to be a writer's medium.
Mm-hmm.
But doing plays, in particular on Broadway, is an actor's medium.
Because
so can you distinguish the difference?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's funny. Kenny Leon, who's directing us, he just told the cast that. Because we're about to open. Now, Kenny's job is done. He goes away. We as actors, the company, have to reenact every night, every performance, all the stuff that we have been working on. And as you both well know, sometimes things can spread. Maybe a handshake gets a little deeper. Mm. Maybe I put a little dip in a line here and there. So we are the ones who really have to push forward and recreate this concept. On the movie, I can do 10 takes of you. You go home thinking, yeah, I really got that one take. We're not going to use that take. We're going to use my take, the one I like.
That's a great point.
I'm going to cut out and sculpt everything about your performance as a director or editor, and then I have it down the way I want. So that's what they mean. The director has a final say on the movie.
So, you know, Jalen Rose has an opinion that Zion Williamson shouldn't play all season long.
Oh, I am.
Now, I follow you on all social media. Make sure you do. This man is hilarious in all mediums. But you tweeted this about the future of Zion. Let's take a look at it quickly. You apparently don't believe that this man should ever play again.
No.
You said, tell me what you think.
I think he should be encased in a glass case. Preserve him at his finest.
Yes.
He can move around, wave at people. Maybe he got a little hole. He can stick his hand out, shake people, you know, shake people's hands and stuff. Just leave him there.
We'll get some sides of
food. Yeah, leave him there.
Yeah.
You're going to get your $100 million back. charge, I don't know, I said $5. We're going to find a rate. $100 a pop. Yeah. You know, maybe you could wheel him in to somebody's birthday party.
Appearances.
You know, don't touch him. Don't lead. Don't leave. He don't have to sit down. Just
so
leave him like that.
Obviously, he hasn't played yet, but he will return this season. My question for you is, do you think that the cuisine of New Orleans is going to hurt his career?
Yes.
I'm concerned about
I
that.
I was there working on Queen Sugar, and I gained 52 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real number?
No, I'm
Oh my God. You look great.
It's true. I had 5 different apps. You know, I was getting frog legs, all kind of old stuff, and they'll come any hour. They're like drug dealers. What you want? Okay, I'll be there in about 20 minutes. You may have to wait a little longer because it's the South, but ooh, that food, you know the deal, man.
I had turtle soup there, and I was I didn't realize there was real turtles in there.
Yes,
I thought it was like a name, and I was like, oh, wow, turtle soup.
Yes, I had it too, man. Beautiful. That is going to be a challenge. And I don't know, man. They just need to get him back on court, not in a irresponsible way.
Correct.
They don't have to be over delicate. Now, maybe you guys know something about his particular injury that requires longer rehab. Just get him out there, man. You know, if he's gonna bust, he's gonna bust. If he's gonna last, he's gonna last. Okay, you got to deal with it.
I agree. So I'm sitting here with two of the biggest Michigan football fans outside of Ann Arbor.
Absolutely.
No question.
I mean, two of the biggest Michigan football fans.
No doubt.
Both of you guys watch every snap of every single game.
No doubt.
So my question for you, do you think this season was a success?
No.
No.
Oh. Explain, gentlemen.
We lost our bowl game. We lost to Ohio State.
There you go.
That's it?
First of all, I think last time I was here, I tried to tell you, man, he could have had the same season. Just beat Ohio State, man. That you don't have no idea how important that is.
That's important, Jacob.
Any he could have lost.
I don't because it hasn't happened for so long.
I know
it's been like a decade. That's how I don't know it's important.
I feel like the problem with Michigan is recruiting. You know what I'm saying? That's like there's a bomb ass party down the block with you. Like, hey man, come to our little thing, man. We got cupcakes.
Right.
From the grocery store.
And all the church. Yeah, we got church deaconesses.
Come in the plastic thing.
Your auntie's there in the kitchen. Like, yeah, I'm going over to the other house. So I think maybe that may be a problem. I don't know, man, but I cannot not believe in Michigan. And I really don't like the atmosphere around this ESPN organization.
Get off! Free second!
Jen's not allowed to say. Want to call? I didn't come here to preach.
We talking about Feinbaum?
Yes, I heard. Now the greenie too.
Oh, he's around here. You can grab him.
Keep him away from me.
Get him.
I don't like him. You know, I'm a true believer, man. We got to get past this hump, and I don't know what it's gonna take, man. I was there when they beat Ohio State. I was there when Woody Hayes snatched a player and slapped him upside the head. You know, that's what they used to do, man. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is, man. But for us, that's very important.
Jay, what do you think the fix is?
We need a quarterback that's going to eventually play on Sundays.
There you go.
If you look at Jim Harbaugh as a former player and what he did in San Francisco, he helped elevate them to play a style. Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, helped cultivate Colin Kaepernick. You know where Roman is right now? With the Ravens. Mm. Running that same offense with Lamar Jackson.
See, I want to go to his church.
So once we get a quarterback that he's confident in, I think that can end up playing on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, that's going to be a game changer.
I am so glad you are here. Because sometimes there's a video that goes into the show that needs to be broken down in extreme detail.
Let's break it down.
Today's one of those days. Let's go to the table.
Let's break it down.
Because we're in the entertainment world, we all fly a lot. You know, got a lot of miles. And, you know, airplanes become habitual. They become a sanctuary. They become an important environment. We all have our routines. So I just want you all to put yourself in an airplane seat right now. And you look over to your left. Yes. And this is what you see. Just take me through what you're watching right here, David.
No. Here's what I'm hoping.
What are you hoping?
Hoping exactly. Now, this is a very attractive individual who lost their arm in a lawnmower accident or something, and they done rebuilt their life. and they just walk down the aisle with a ticket in between their toes. Because anything less than that, we got a problem. We have a problem.
I'm never touching a screen again.
No.
I'm never touching a screen again. Mm-mm.
And I'm not one of these people. I can't be disinfecting the whole area.
No. Right. No, no.
I sat next to a very famous, beautiful model. She basically...
Naomi Campbell. Yeah, I'll say the names.
She basically... disinfected the entire area. I'm like, but as soon as you step 2 feet over, you're going to step on some dude.
You got to use the bathroom at some point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to deliver you something in a glass. You can't disinfect that.
This is what turns me off. Keep your shoes on.
Oh, see, I take my shoes off. Socks on.
Yeah but you're in your seat. But you don't go down the aisle with the socks.
Yeah, I do.
No.
For sure.
No.
No, that's cultural.
Oh, for
cut
sure.
Your feet off.
Do that.
Cut your feet off.
No. No. I see. First of all, I always have clean socks. I change my socks in the bathroom.
So you go into the bathroom barefoot?
No. With socks on. And I inspect the floor to make sure that I dodge the mines.
Let me ask you something. I know you've been getting a lot of hate about your hygiene.
Yeah. I showered this morning.
Oh, you did? Thank
you. Yeah. But I played basketball last night, slept in the bed without Funky.
That's because he knew you was going to
be here. Let me ask you something.
Yeah, I showered this morning.
But see, in your defense... a lot of folks don't know what you're doing. I think I know what your science is.
Oh, what's that?
No shower, you letting them pheromones kick. You going straight caveman.
That's what happens.
So when your woman comes home, you like, all of me. You letting her see the caveman.
No, but sometimes it's a problem because by getting the subway, just women will just follow me. Up the stairs because the pheromones are so strong.
There you go.
So I mean, that's why I've been showering, just to keep the hordes of people away from me.
It's some science.
Thank you. You understand me.
Long as you and your woman, long as it's good in the household.
That's why you can come back anytime. You say you feel like you're home here.
Yes.
You are.
But one other thing.
This is your home. Anything you need.
Okay. Your children are watching.
Huh?
Your children are watching you. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're teaching them a lesson. Now, if you're good with that. You good with that?
I'm lazy, so we only bathe them like once every 2 days. Depending on their day. You know what I mean? It takes like an hour. It's already late. I'm trying to get them to bed.
No.
There's science to that, too. There's
not
science
my household.
To that,
too.
That's cultural.
I was about to say.
The one thing we have in our households is... we might be broke, but you gonna be clean.
My mother.
I don't care if you got a boiler washer to water to wash up. We did that.
My mother was a depression baby. She said, when you start smelling yourself, we've been smelling you.
Okay.
Don't use your own nose as a barometer.
David,
wash your behind.
You can check him in A Soldier's Play anytime.
We need to take our significant other.
You have to.
Go I'll to Broadway
I'll tell
and
you.
Represent.
I would love to. Thank you so much. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Also,
whatsoever.
One last thing. Go. I need more Jalen and Jacoby swag, baby.
Oh, we got you. Oh, we'll get you something. We'll get you something for sure. I want to thank David Allen Greer for coming through, and I want to tell you something happened in the NBA that has never, ever, ever happened before. 2 40-point triple doubles. And James Harden with a 40-point triple-double is an amazing accomplishment. But you wanted to talk about this back and forth.
I did want to talk about this fashion. They look like they're both in two different states. Trae Young's wearing shorts like it's 95 degrees, and James Harden's wearing a coat like it's 45 degrees.
Sometimes you just commit to the shorts and you just stay with it. But the back and forth didn't end in the tunnel. It went onto the court, and I just never seen anything like this. And for me, the takeaway is this, is James Harden is not headline news when you get a 40-point triple-double, but Trae Young's in his second year in the NBA. And this young man is going toe-to-toe with the MVP.
So let me show you guys how this works behind the curtain.
Oh, okay, please do.
So you trade, in theory, Trae Young for Luka Doncic, and you get the pick.
Yep.
DeAndre, the fourth pick they took from Virginia. What's the kid's
Hunter.
Name? DeAndre Hunter. So now all of a sudden, you evaluate their numbers. Mm-hmm. This is why you can't evaluate players off the statistics. If I wrote both of their numbers on a piece of paper, they're pretty similar.
Oh, yeah, they're close.
They're pretty similar.
Close.
But the difference is one player is not only in the West, but he's one or two games out of the two seed, mm-hmm. depending on what day it is.
There's 17 teams, one or two
games. The other player is flirting with one of the worst records in the conference. So as management, now you go back to the drawing board and you have to ask yourself, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm asking you just blank stare, and KP hasn't been playing, whose roster
do you think is better between the Mavs and the Hawks?
If I mean, I know the answer because I'm watching the games, but if you just did paper, I would probably say the Hawks. But I know the Mavs are a better team in my heart.
But either way, it wouldn't be far off.
No.
So that's the soul searching that Atlanta's gonna have to do this offseason.
They got some soul searching to do because they have the worst win-loss record in the National Basketball Association. And I wouldn't be surprised if they made some moves before the trade deadline. So Jalen, there's a rumor.
They're trying to get Andre Drummond.
There's a rumor.
We need him in Detroit.
There's a rumor. Bigger than an Andre Drummond trade. Comes from Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. Do you know what he said? He said that the Warriors and the Sixers might have had some discussions about D'Angelo Russell for Ben Simmons. Jalen Rose, what do you think about this potential deal? Does it make sense?
This definitely makes sense. Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
This makes sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense.
Uh-uh.
You know the one thing about being a former player and doing this job for as long as I have, sometimes you say controversial things that people take personal. And I remember being a person saying, I love Ben Simmons. I love Joel Embiid, but I don't think they can maximize their potential together. They're both so very talented that you got to build a team around Joel Embiid that people can make shots and create opportunities for him and not clog the paint. For Ben Simmons, you have to create a squad around him where he can basically be a power guard, where there's shooters around him mm-hmm. and a big that could catch lobs like Capella mm-hmm. or DeAndre Jordan. Since they're on the same team, it clogs the paint and distorts the spacing.
If I'm the 76ers, I'm not giving up Ben Simmons for D'Angelo Russell. I just feel like Ben Simmons is not only the better player now, but has more potential to be better 2-3 years down the road. I'm not making that trade.
I'm not saying you trade those two guys apples to apples, because I agree with your comment. But that's why you toss other players into the deal, third teams into the deal, salaries, picks.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how and or if this plays out.
Yeah, and again, I just want to emphasize that this is just a rumor. You know what I mean? This is something that there's going to be a lot of these coming up in the next month or so. But this one I found really interesting, especially because it involved a couple superstars, all-stars. Jalen, I can't wait to talk to you about this one. Because when I saw this, I said, me and Jalen are about to argue in the studio. Former Michigan head coach, current Cavs head coach, John Beilein, was in a film session when he criticized his players because they were no longer playing like a bunch of thugs. So, of course, the report gets out and he walks it back. And here's what he had to say when he addressed it to the public. He said, quote, I didn't realize I had said the word thugs. But my staff told me later I did, so I must have said it. I meant to say slugs, as in slow moving. We weren't playing hard before, and now we're playing harder. Then he moves on. I meant it as a compliment. That's what I was trying to say. I've already talked to 8 of my players tonight, and they're telling me that they understand. Meant to say slugs. Jalen Rose.
So
meant to say slugs, Jalen Rose.
So a couple of things. As you know, I'm fond of John Beilein. I'm very grateful for what he did to the University of Michigan.
I know.
I'm fortunate that he allowed me to come spend time and talk to the team on multiple occasions, tickets to the game, all of that. But this is a perfect example of why an older white gentleman, basically in a sport that's 75% black, sometimes college coaches get criticized if they have what it takes to coach professionals. This is a perfect example. Let me tell you why. In his statement, he said he did not know what he said. That's the actual problem. Number two, that he talked to 8 of his players, not 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's his other problem. Also, what has been disseminating from Cleveland all season? Basically, players wanting him out, saying he can't relate, clapping back at him. Tristan Thompson yelling at him in the game. Kevin Love defiant when he got a small guy on him.
Yep.
When he's called out to come set a pick. These are all basketball circumstances that have nothing to do with these comments. Now, with somebody that's been called a thug by the media, it's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to get into this industry, the name calling. it makes me want to give mainstream America the definition of thug. Because what has happened is Tupac Shakur was such a superstar, and he glorified the term.
He popularized the term.
It's almost like rap music. It kind of got away from what it really means.
Yes.
So now you have a generation of people using that term, or a lot of people from suburban environments using that term, but don't really know the impetus of it. If I'm a coach and I tell my team that they're playing like thugs, that don't mean that they're tough.
Or they need to play like thugs.
That means they're out there trying to hurt somebody.
Yes.
A thug is a criminal. That's a street lifestyle. A slug is somebody that is slow and or lazy. Two way different things that both, by the way, you ready for this? Could fit in that sentence that he said.
That's another thing. It's not what you do. It's not what you say. It's how you say
it. Correct.
It's the context. It's the vibe. It's the relationship you have with the people that you say it to. So I think there's a lot of other variables in the equation than just the fact that he used the word thug. I think that them losing and that the team kind of having a little bit of a working relationship with him played into this. But I have to ask you this question. Sometimes the cover-up is worse than the crime. Do you honestly, seriously, honestly believe that he meant to say the word slugs and he said thugs? Or is that just a convenient little cover-up after it blew up in his face?
I got to say the cover-up is worse than the crime because I've sat in a lot of locker rooms. I've played a lot of basketball. I've been around a lot of coaches. I've never heard that term used. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm pretty sure he's never used that term with the team. That's what makes it unique. Say that's something that he says all of the time and then had a slip of the tongue. It's something that can be forgiven. But it sounds like this is a term he used for the first time, didn't realize he said it, had to be told by the GM that he says it. That creates the issue, which is unfortunate for him because I'm pretty sure right now, he's like, why did I leave college for the pros?
Yeah, I didn't have these problems in college.
Why did I leave college for the pros?
You made a great point. He got 7 more phone calls to make. He got getting the phone.
Correct.
Jalen, it is time for me and you to keep it moving. In this segment, you decide whether or not you want to discuss the topic. If you want to discuss it, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
To Cal.
We've learned that Adam Thielen hurt his ankle in practice and it required stitches, but it doesn't seem serious. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Required stitches sounds like a cut more than a sprain. He'll be out there for the playoff game. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Mike McCarthy admitted to doing something that basically all of us do.
Hit the brakes.
He admitted that he lied to Jerry Jones during the interview when he said that he's watched every play of the Cowboys this season. Big deal there, kind of funny.
It's really funny. And like I told you on this program, he will be the choice. I also used the term, check all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones came out and said he checks all of the boxes.
Great point, Jalen Rose. I forgot that you said that, and you were absolutely right. Next, I have great news for the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, hit the brakes.
Victor Oladipo is coming back.
Oladipo!
January 29th against the Bulls. How long do you think it'll be before he's kind of back to the Victor Oladipo that we've seen previously?
Well, it's a quad injury, so hopefully by playoff time.
Ooh, that's a long runway.
Victor Oladipo is all NBA players. It's going to take some time. It ain't like me coming back.
Great point. You know what I'm saying? Go out there and try to get 10.
Like, he out there was going 30 on cats.
I have a story that involves the Waffle House. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, please hit the brakes.
Jalen, I want you to take a look at something that's going viral on Twitter. Because everybody has a fantasy football team, right? Here's what Cyrus said. He said, for my fantasy football punishment, I will be attempting the Waffle House Challenge. I must stay in a Waffle House for 24 hours. Every waffle I eat, an hour is subtracted from my sentence. Please join me on this journey. I like this because you don't have to eat 24 or you fail, but you have to stay there. How many waffles do you think you could eat if you did the Waffle House Challenge?
In 24 hours?
No, if you eat one, then you only have 23 hours left. If you eat two, you only have 22 hours left, so on and so forth.
But otherwise, you got to be there.
Otherwise, you have to be there.
So, in theory, if I was there 12 hours, that means because I ate 12 waffles?
Yes.
Oh, I'll just make sure I'm starving that day. I'll probably be there 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Dog, what? You're going to put down 20 waffles in 4 hours?
Yes.
Jalen, sometimes you don't understand how the world works. You can eat 20 waffles in 4 hours.
Let me tell you something, sir.
You just say things sometimes.
Let me tell you something. You want me to take off my pants and show you I have a Waffle House tattoo on my butt?
No, I don't
want to
see that.
You want me to show you?
Show the world. Show the world.
Let me tell you, I eat Waffle House. Scattered, smothered, and covered. Okay? I eat Waffle House. Let me tell you something.
Here's a big question. Have you ever eaten Waffle House sober?
No, it's not as good.
Yeah, it's not what happens. All right.
I take that back. Yes.
Okay, in the morning?
I've been in a Waffle House playing cards with my daughters.
Oh, there you go. What were you guys playing?
Family experience.
What were you playing?
I think we were teaching them how to play spades.
Oh, good.
Or Uno. We play Uno.
Oh, I love Uno. I've got a great Ed Orgeron story. Keep moving.
Hit the brakes. National championship.
So, apparently, Greedy Williams told that he goes around shirtless and he shotguns Red Bulls to get the team fired up. Jalen Rose, would you ever shotgun a Red Bull?
No.
Well, you know what? That's why there's two of us here. Do you know how to shotgun something? Have you ever shotgun something?
Drink it nonstop?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Here's how you shotgun a Red Bull.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, wow. Wow. Yes. Yes. Oh.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Hey, man. They need to drug test you.
I'll pass.
They need a drug test.
I'll pass.
What is wrong with you? So I just got to ask a question.
What's that?
What just happened?
Shotgunned a Red Bull. Ed Orgeron does this to fire up the team. I'm trying to bring some life to this program.
So here's the thing. You pulled out a key.
Yep.
First off, I didn't know what you were doing with the key.
Yep. You poke a hole in the bottom of the can. Usually it's a beer. And then you open up the top and drink it, and it automatically just pours.
See, I didn't see you open up the top. I didn't know why you were pulling out keys. That's clearly something cultural. The other thing, you drank it nonstop.
Yeah, you can't. You have no choice. That's the shotgun part of it.
It's too much. Isn't it a lot more acid in a Red Bull than a beer?
I don't know the acidity levels of those two different beverages, but I know they're both delicious.
And the other thing, this is really important to me.
What's that?
What's up with the throwing the can part afterwards? Is that like a wrestling move or something?
Yeah, you're like fired up. You just want to show everybody you're done with it.
Oh, yeah. Next time you got to just take off your shirt afterwards.
Next time I'm going to hit you. That's what Ed Orgeron does. He does them shirtless. I haven't been working out that much lately, so I didn't do it. It is now time for Socially Awkward.
That was awkward.
So, Annette's supporter or somebody was commentating about the Nets on Twitter, and they said, look, they win 7 games, no one cares. They lose 7 games, no one cares. It's basically saying that the Nets weren't necessarily relevant. Kevin Durant saw this tweet, and we can't even show you how much he went back and forth with this person on Twitter, because they were going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And when I used to disrespect Kevin Durant for doing this, I've gone full circle. I support him. Why not? He's just having a conversation with somebody. It's just like you argue with a stranger at a bar. He's just doing it for everybody to see. I love this behavior from Kevin Durant. What do you think?
So I have a few thoughts about it. Kevin Durant, one of the most talented basketball players to ever do it.
All time.
And you know, one of the things I actually love about him is that he does the game for a living, not necessarily what the game can do for him. Mm. He's a guy that'll go play rec ball. He'll go play at the Rucker. Like, he just lives and breathes the game. And I love that about him. Probably the greatest pure scorer the game has seen. But in covering his career, you get to know certain traits about players.
Yep.
And one of the things that I noticed is usually the people that clap back at others are those that A, invite the trolling because, again, they want to reply. And or B, those that reply, but sometimes they get emotional behind the response.
Mm.
And so for KD in his past, we all have the ability to grow. I'm not judging him over yesterday. But there was a point in his career where he needed a burner account to actually express what he felt. And it happened to be about his former team, his former coach, and Russell Westbrook. And so when people realized that it was a burner account, it showed me that maybe he's not the person emotionally that should be consuming that negativity, because it's not fueling you. It's probably upsetting you or hurting you. And so only he can do the dance of being able to juggle the line between the two. But if it's not bothering him and it's not emotional to him, then
He's just joking and playing.
He's allowed to defend himself.
I don't think he's really bothered by this. I think he's just joking and playing, and he's just like spending some time while he poops.
But a couple of things have... That's nasty. People use the phone on the bathroom.
Everybody does it. Right. Every single person does it.
But here's the thing. 2 months ago, we were talking about the ascension of the Nets. This turbulence, emotionally for public consumption, is what people wondered if KD and Kyrie would be able to handle if they came to New York City. Mm-hmm. That was the question, right?
And you know when we're going to find out? 2021.
Yes.
That's what we're going to find out.
We're not going to find out
this year.
They're terrific basketball players.
To me.
They'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals yesterday. We'll be in the locker room trying to interview them. Yeah. And then KD be like, I don't want to talk to you because last year you said this about me. Now y'all want to come to the game. Well, we're going to come to the game anyway because we're fans and support.
I'm glad you
brought
up. But
I want to see what happens.
I'm glad you brought up Westbrook because Westbrook, you know, he's no longer on the Oklahoma City Thunder with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant left, and now Westbrook's gone, and they return to Oklahoma City tonight. Now, Westbrook famously signed extensions with the team, committed to Oklahoma City. And when he returns, do you think he will be celebrated, or do you think he will be booed?
Celebrated, standing ovation.
Yes. Yeah.
He will eventually, obviously, get his number retired.
Don't say it.
They got to consider it.
No, don't say it.
They got to consider a Russell
it.
Statue.
Don't say it.
He averaged triple doubles, man. He did something for that organization, and it's
You know what? Not to mention MVP. It wasn't his
talk
fault.
To your boy. And to partly slight and take shade at KD, they would do that.
Oh, yeah, they would do that.
You
got to
think
too.
About the tea leaves. So ooh. Russell deserves.
He's going to be scowling in the statue, too. Oh, the lip curled up to here.
And OKC's been playing well, so I'm happy that he got a chance to rest against the Hawks. He'll be fully ready to go.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. Jalen, who's joining us later today?
David Allen Greer, one of the funniest human beings walking the face of the earth.
I'm so excited about
that. And just happens to be a Detroit native.
Detroit native.
It's our turn, dog.
It's your turn.
Detroit's turn, dog.
It's your, wait, between the Pistons and the Lions and the Tigers? Whose turn is it?
It has nothing to do with
nothing
sports.
To do with sports?
It has nothing to do with sports.
Oh, whose turn is it then?
You know, I could just stand on this table and just talk about all of the things that society has stolen from my hometown.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Oh, I didn't know you were
ready for this.
I thought you said you could. I know you're.
You ready
gonna,
for this?
I didn't know you. Can next time say I'm gonna, because then I can just fall asleep for a little bit.
We're so confident in my hometown, and we've endured so much turbulence. I have some breaking news for the world.
Breaking news? What's that?
Christopher Columbus was raised in Detroit.
Christopher Columbus was raised in Detroit?
I don't believe that, but I'm just saying. That's the mentality.
You know Christopher Columbus, right? One time I was in a little league game and we were in the championship and my coach, she was a great coach. Shout out to Coach O. He's like, let me tell you guys a story. It's like, who discovered America? We're all like Christopher Columbus. He's like, let me tell you guys something. The Native Americans started here.
Preach.
And then he's like, do you know that Christopher Columbus wasn't the first person from Europe to get to America?
Oh no.
Christopher Columbus was second. Or third. So he's like, you know what? Sometimes second place isn't that bad.
Mm.
And then we ended up losing the game. Mm. It wasn't a great hype-up speech, to be honest with you. It really wasn't
a reality check.
It really wasn't a great hype-up speech.
Reality check.
Yeah.
How was basketball last night, David?
You know what? Have you played basketball before?
Once or twice in my life.
And then, you know, when you're playing a team that you've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
you always size them up during warm-ups.
That's why I come watch first.
You always size them up during warm-ups.
And then you ask me why I want to come watch.
Oh, please. So I go there, and these dudes are little.
Are they small?
They're little.
Like, short?
They're young, but they're little. Like, I didn't think they had, the biggest guy was like 6 feet tall. Yeah, and it was just like, and first of all, I walk in the gym, they're like, are you Jacoby from Jalen and Jacoby? I was like, oh, I'm a big fan. I'm like, every time they do that, they play a little harder against me. You know what I mean? So that's always
you're
a
famous,
thing.
Famous, dog. I've been trying to tell you.
They play a little harder against me. But you real famous. But then the game started and it was like, it's hard to get up for the competition when you know you're better than the competition. You know what I mean?
Oh, so we the Sixers, huh?
Yeah, we started out the gate kind of slow and then we blew them out at the end. But it wasn't a great performance from Jacoby. It
That's really all I care about. Now, let's talk about your stat line.
It wasn't a great performance.
You
6 points. But what really bothered me and none of my teammates listened to the podcast, is like I had a mismatch the entire game and I wouldn't get the ball in the post.
That's where I was going. You said they were small, but then all of a sudden you said you only had a couple of buckets. I was confused by that. I thought these were your teammates and friends.
It was one of them games where I feel like everyone just wanted to score.
Everybody would get their numbers. Like, oh, we getting our numbers.
And also what happens to me is, you know, I'm a pass first player, so I'll get the ball in the post and then the defense will suck down. And then I'll see one of my shooters wide open. I can't help but give it to him. I feel like my 2-point hook shot is worse than their open 3-pointer.
Well, you're like Jokic. You saw how he started off slow yesterday.
Real slow. We'll get to that.
Third quarter, what did he do?
We'll get to that.
He got aggressive.
This isn't the first time he's done that either. It's not the first time he's done
that. That's why you guys are spirit animals.
But we played like trash. It was our first game in 3 weeks, and you could tell. It was just trash. It wasn't
beverages
fun.
Beverages after?
Every time. But I went moderate. I was watching the Mavs Jokic game after, you know what I mean, at this bar. But I didn't go as hard with the beverages this time.
Oh, you stuck to beer?
Yeah, stuck to beer. Exactly. You know the game. Stuck to beer. Only did one shot. Got home reasonably early. Missed the Giannis game. Watched some reality TV with
healthy?
My wife.
You got home in time enough to watch TV with the wife after a game?
Yeah, man. Want to spend some quality time with the wife.
This is the first time
she's been gone
season.
For 8 days. We ate dinner together the last two nights. Watched some reality TV. The Circle. Shout to The Circle. Message. Shout to The Circle. Question mark. Do you watch it? Exclamation point. Send.
Oh, that's what you and Z were doing today, and that's what you were doing on your IG post? I didn't really get it.
There's like three people that understood
that. I thought it was something
that.
You and y'all were talking about on your pod yesterday. No, I was kind of confused.
There's three people that understand that.
Oh.
Three people that understand it. If you watch Vanderpump Rules, we got a new podcast, me and Juliet.
Shout out to Juliet.
Check it out. It's called The Bachelor Party. Jalen Rose, I want to talk to you about something.
Okay.
See, this is significant to me.
Are you wearing lip gloss?
No, I just put CarMax on because my lips are dry. I have to wipe it off. Man, New York City, lips get dry in the winter. It's tough out here.
Yes.
Lips
are
real dry
in these streets.
But yo, did you really think I would wear lip gloss though?
It looks like it.
It's kind of disrespectful. It's kind of disrespectful.
Well, I didn't mean lip gloss. What is it called? A bomb.
Yeah, yeah. I had to. But it's intense, man. CarMax is no game. Like, I grew up wearing chapstick. When my lady, the CarMax is strong.
One of my former teammates who's like my little brother, who should be in the NBA right now. Why is Jamal Crawford not in the NBA? I watch the league every night. Do you watch NBA basketball?
Every night.
You watch the NBA basketball?
Every night.
It's almost to me like when I watch football and I see all of these quarterbacks, and I'm like, y'all could at least give Colin an opportunity. That's how I feel about Jamal when I'm watching these games now. He could get buckets.
We should hold a workout for Jamal. We should go hold a workout like they did for Colin Kaepernick.
He don't stop playing.
Invite some scouts.
He don't stop playing. But I'll never forget playing with Jamal in Chicago. The weather changed. You know, he's from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
In his warm-up jacket. Yeah, this CarMax. He was not playing.
Really? You get addicted to it. People always say that like chapstick, like your body starts wanting it. And like next thing you know, you have to have it or else you can't function.
That sounds like sex.
No.
Not CarMax.
No. No, that's comics. Can I talk to you about something I want to talk about?
Yes.
Meghan Markle. You know Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, did you see what they did yesterday?
I didn't see what they did yesterday.
Let me tell you what happened. They released a statement. The statement.
All I know is from what I've gathered while you look up that information, society's being mean to her and I don't appreciate it.
Okay, well, let me tell you what happened.
That's what I will say. Like, yo. I wish I would have went to the wedding. I would have had her back.
Yo, this is so great. They didn't invite you?
I'm going to go when they redo their nuptials.
Yo. So here's what happened. I'm going to paraphrase. Meghan Markle and Harry put out a statement saying that they're no longer going to be senior members of the monarchy. They're moving to North America in a split time between UK and North America where they're going to try to live a normal life and be financially independent. They still support the queen, but their royal duties, they're basically quitting on.
You know what this means to me?
What's that?
You can relate to this.
What's that?
How many years you been married?
Been married for 10, coming up on 10, been together for 17.
Behind closed doors, she like, I know you got a great title. I know you come from a great lineage, but all of the slander and disrespect that's coming my way, I ain't for this no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So translation, you can stay here and deal with this, or we can go somewhere and be civil.
That's kind of what happened. But this is not the first time that a woman has taken down an empire. It's been happening since I'm not trying to blame her for doing anything wrong. I would blame the British press before anybody, but it's pretty dramatic. I don't really pay attention to the royals like that, but when I saw this statement, I was like, wait, y'all just gonna move to Canada?
Is this the same press that was tragically chasing his mom?
No, that's complicated.
And allegedly led to her untimely demise.
That's complicated. That was in France, but like, the short answer to the question is yes, but it's much more detailed than that. There's been like 7-hour documentaries about her death. But man,
there's a couple of documentaries coming out. Aaron Hernandez, I'm going to check that out.
I saw the trailer today. I've seen a previous, this is the second Aaron Hernandez documentary.
I'm going to make sure I check
that. It's interesting. It's interesting. They had one statement in the trailer. They're like, he killed two people and continued to play professional like athletics. No one has done that. I was like, oh, good point. Allegedly killed two people. He killed two people.
I'll refrain from comment.
Now, what are you going to say? Two people, I said. Two people. Two people.
Got it. So when the news dropped of him passing, I was literally hosting Mike and Mike with Greeny 4 hours that day. Mm-hmm. And you know how this works because you do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for a show. Do all of these topics, and all of a sudden breaking news happened, and you just roll with the punches. I actually love those days more because just freestyle and, you know, just getting a chance to dig deeper into topics. It was tragic to basically see how the overtone of his life that's being played out in a lot of these documentaries paints a picture of a troubled individual who just happened to be a talented football player.
Where'd he grow up?
He grew up in Waterbury.
Bristol, Connecticut.
Bristol,
Connecticut. Mm-hmm. A place that we both know very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right? Crazy that he grew up in Bristol, Connecticut?
Yes. The home of ESPN, the mothership. Our guest is here.
Our guest
Twitter
is here.
IG Interactive. Our guest has arrived.
Welcome back to the program.
What's up?
In the building.
Have a seat. Yes. We're live on Instagram right now. We're in the podcast portion of the program, which you know because you listen to the podcast and watch the TV show every single day.
First of all, tell them the
whole
thing.
Every single day.
Big follower.
Yes.
IG stories. We got to talk about that.
Oh, Kayla Johnson's here.
We got to talk about your IG stories, man.
At Kayla. Thank you for coming.
Message at Zuriel Loving. Z-U-R-I-E-L.
I like
this. L-O-V-I-N-G.
This reminds me of being at home. This big monitor, no cable connected.
K-A-Y-L-A Johnson.
What's
we're co-workers, but I see them like sisters.
So, yo, my friends see you commenting on me. They're like, wait, is that, that's a...
They should know that.
That's
they should know, man. We boys now.
That's him. Yo, my wife left me for 8 days, living with the kids.
I don't know what your wife is doing. My thing is, like, is she coming back?
Because, you know. She came back.
Okay, I got to give you some advice. I know we're talking sports. I want you to be open. Is your heart open for this knowledge?
Not really, but I'll take it anyway.
No, man, I'm trying to help you. Now, we don't like to clout chase, but do me a favor.
Okay.
Every video is you giving your kids candy, bubble gum, ice creams, nice.
Yep.
You need, I don't care if it's posed, you need to do a video with you at home cooking them breakfast. I'm gonna tell you why. People gonna love you.
A little
flower on the nose, you know, apron.
Doesn't matter
what it is.
That'll definitely be posed because I'm just putting a Pop-Tart in the toaster and going back to
that, that's all. That's all you gotta do.
Let me pull you behind the curtain on what really happened. She did it to me twice. The last time she did it, I put up pictures of them crying all the time.
No, don't do that.
And she was like, because I tried to give them like a real look at what real life is like.
No, we don't need that. We don't need the reality.
Yeah, the thing, I gave them the reality and my wife was like, this is just stressing me out. You gotta stop doing this. So I was like, all right, whatever you say, lady.
We don't need that, man. Have the kids around. My dad, he scrambled some eggs once in our lives, and we still talk about it. He's been dead 3 years. We like, Daddy cooked eggs.
Right.
Mom did it every day.
Great cook.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm trying to help you out, man. That's all you need to do.
My wife is not allowed to scramble eggs. That's how good I am at it.
Wow. We need to see that.
Oh yeah, I got in my scrambled eggs. There's like 7 ingredients.
I didn't even know there was a kitchen in your crib, man. I swear to God.
Every time you the truth of the matter is, it's like I put day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. By day 4, I had to put like the nannies coming because I was doing half days.
Yes.
Once the nanny got there, I would go work out and then I would go to the bar and watch sports.
Oh yeah, I know you were. It's beautiful. I do follow though. Tell your friends we down.
Appreciate
man.
You, man.
We have family. Don't ever question.
So on this show, you know, we like to give the people what they want. And one of the things that we've talked about doing, because Jacoby and I aren't the best at list. So I'll ask you favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Or what inspired you. So what we were going to do is our favorite comedians of all time.
We're going to do a bracket. A white side and a black side.
So this is what we were arguing about.
We have a white side and a black side.
Number one, do we need to have a white side and a black side?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what. Comedy is generational and it's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
So as a kid, I think we've all had that experience when all the adults are laughing at this man or woman on TV or on the radio, and we all sitting around like, well, what? I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, Georgie Jessel, an old white dude who would come on these programs, everybody in the audience is cracking up, laughing. The Toastmaster General, and I would just sit there like, what is this? It wasn't until I saw Richard Pryor on the Ed Sullivan Show, and this is before he really became Pryor. I took one look, I said, now that's my man.
It's also generational, like you said. The Chappelle Show is one of the best shows I've ever seen that ever aired on television, but I watched old Richard Pryor shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is the formula.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just kind of upgraded it, but like, the formula was already there, and there's a lot of similarities between those shows, which aired, I think, late 70s, early 80s.
Well, I was at Michigan freshman year, now in Detroit.
Tell them that again where you was at.
U of M!
Let them know.
Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the leaders of the West. Hail! You don't even know the words.
One thing that needs to be upgraded is all college songs like that. They all sound like they're written in 1935. Like, can we get some updated versions?
They're all out of DM like, hell. Hey, Michigan.
Let's upgrade these. Let's upgrade these.
Every time I hear them.
But wait, real quick. Richard Pryor's show, his sketch show was so raw. In Detroit, it aired late night because they would not air it prime time. It only aired, I think, 4 episodes before they took it off.
Oh, I understand why I watched it.
So, yes, man. So, and we loved Richard Pryor. I think I saw him 3 or 4 times live. And he's just the godfather. I mean, the godfather of everything. I mean, for me, comedy.
Yeah. So if we go on 2 brackets, you can choose if you want to start a white bracket or a black bracket. And again, I want to make sure
for the audience. Ever did is incomplete.
This is an incomplete list. He's going to forget somebody.
Don't hit my man up. Don't get mad at him.
It's going to happen.
That's true.
But that's why I say your favorite or who inspired you.
Okay, first of all, can we do old school?
Of course.
Sure.
Old school.
Jerry Lewis, Red Skelton, these old Red Skelton flicks. Who else? Bob Hope, like the Lemon Drop Kid.
Yep.
We used to have Bob Hope Week in Detroit, the 4 o'clock movie, because when I got home off the Finkel bus, we call that the Green Limousine, baby. Yes.
No idea.
Hey, this is Detroit stuff. You don't know. You don't know
what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying.
But they were having a 4 o'clock movie. Now, first of all, the best week was Monster Week, but that's another topic. Mm-hmm. So those 3 guys, I would say, are OG. Now, I'll tell you something else. When I come to my grandmother's house, my grandmother was born in 1900. May she rest in peace. My father was a flaming radical. He was he wrote a book called Black Rage.
As a matter of fact,
he was mad at Obama because he wasn't black enough.
Oh, I like it.
I'm serious.
Uncomfortable?
Yeah. He'd be like, you're all right. When they had the beer summit, my dad was like, why you got to have a beer summit, man? He need to tell these white folks. Forget all of y'all. I was like, well, dang, he could do that, but he's not going to be president long. So my dad, you know, he said Amos and Andy was absolutely racist. And, you know, he'd lecture his mom, my grandmother, we're not going to watch this regressive racist garbage. And he would leave me with her. She would wait till the car around the corner. She turned it back on. She said, don't tell your daddy. I think it's funny.
So there was a couple of shows in my childhood that I relate to that. Mm-hmm. I loved All in the Family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Archie Bunker was a racist in his character. Yeah. But I love that show.
I wasn't really an All in the Family dude, but I loved Red Fox. Mm. Red Fox did a line one time. He said, there's nothing uglier than a 90-year-old white woman.
I still laugh to this day. I mean, that was funny, 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 funny.
For me, it was Different Strokes. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of like the
everybody got a special kind of glory.
To, like, the interracial sort of, like, dynamics, you know? But there's racial undertones to that, too.
Yes. They wrote
all these jokes in that we would never, ever, ever say today.
A white family that's well off adopting two black kids from an urban community. That was something we hadn't seen on TV.
Aunt Esther. Now, the story I heard about Aunt Esther was that Red Fox really wanted her on, LaWanda Page. Mm-hmm. She was having a lot of trouble, you know, remembering her lines, really. She was stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
And the network producers wanted to fire her. He said, no, give her another chance. Till finally, she got grounded and it was off and running. I mean, the real LaWanda Page, her comedy was buck wild. I mean, it was X-rated. In every black family, too, they all had Red Fox comedy albums. And the old comedy albums used to be different colors. They had the red, the LP was red. I mean, it had a green one, a yellow one. That was back in the day.
The visual you're talking about, like with Different Strokes, the Jeffersons gave me that also. Entrepreneur, they were well-dressed, they lived in a high-rise, they had a cleaning person. Like, that was something that I hadn't seen as well, especially on television.
And still very Negroid.
No doubt.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. Got to give the people.